We'd like for you to take out your outline. We're going through the series, Building One Another Up, Becoming the Church that Jesus Christ Died and Rose Again For. Another way to look at it, it would be seeking to build a gospel culture here. Seeking to build a gospel culture where we know the gospel, we live the gospel, we share the gospel, but in an environment of grace. So that people clearly understand, and we understand too together with each other, that it's not a gospel of legalism, it's a gospel of grace, for we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Part of that grace that we seek and endeavor to have an environment of is doing these one another commands, obeying God. And so therefore, Paul says there in 1 Thessalonians in the outline before you, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Building one another up. We looked at that last week. And one of the ways we do that is through encouraging one another. And there are a lot of passages. In fact, take a look at some of the passages you have on your outline before you, such as Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. God's word is meant to encourage us, to strengthen our faith, to deepen our faith. It's to instruct us, it's to warn us. It's to have that cleansing work in our lives and strengthening our relationships as husbands and wives, as parents and children, brothers and sisters, but certainly within the church. We understand, too, that encouragement gives hope. We'll see a little bit more about that later on as we get into further passages. But it gives hope, not despair. One of the byproducts of encouragement is that work of hope in our hearts. It points us to God and what he has for us, for he's the God of hope. Another passage, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, where the believers in Thessalonica were worried. Well, what about our dead loved ones who have died in Christ? What's going to happen to them? What happens when the Lord comes back? Are they going to be left behind? Are we going to go before them or what? And that revelation from God to Paul was God's word to them and to you and I to encourage them. And so God's revelation and the soon and near return of Jesus Christ is to encourage us, to strengthen us. And then again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily, every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week we're to encourage one another. But notice what it says. As long as it is called today, so that, this is one of the reasons, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's also one of the purposes of encouraging one another in Christ. Encouragement can protect our hearts from hardening, the hardening effect of sin and its deceptions. Well, how does that work? Well, encouragement will not only guard our hearts from the hardening of sin, but it will correct us as we encourage one another, not to be pessimistic. Some of the, marks are indicating of a heart that is hardened or being hardened by sin's deception is being pessimistic all the time, being negative, being cynical, critical and judgmental spirit. And it's not a situation where, you know, I'm a cup is half empty person and you're a person that's a cup is half full. No, I'd rather be a cup that's overflowing, wouldn't you? It's not a case of half full or half empty. It's one of that's overflowing. And like David says here in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. You see, when we're encouraging one another, one of the byproducts is we realize that truly our cup of our lives, are overflowing of the grace and the mercies and the blessings of God every day. So encouragement is directing us to that truth. And it guards and protects our hearts from being hardened. And hearts do harden, don't they? From sin's deception. Are you a pessimist? Are you always negative? Are you critical? Are you cynical? Every one of those characteristics of the heart, we can understand how it's true of the world to have that. But for a born-again Christian, no. We must and we can encourage one another. Encourage. The word parakaleo means to call alongside, to strengthen, to counsel. It's also the same word that, if you will, the term that's applied to the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, our guide. And depending on the context, sometimes the word is also translated to summon someone for help, for encouragement, to exhort, to entreat, or to comfort. One of the great passages, in fact, that we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Let's take a look at verses 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. That's the word there, parakaleo. He's the God of all encouragement, so therefore his children certainly must be encouragers, right? That's a family trait. And therefore we can and we must obey when God says encourage one another. The God of all encouragement, you could also translate that, who encourages us in all of our troubles so that we may encourage those in any trouble with the encouragement we ourselves have received from God. That word can be translated encouragement or encourage. He is the source of our encouragement. Do you realize, and we have just a little bit of a statement as far as a general oversight, overseeing the New Testament. Out of 107 times, the New Testament tells us to take some action. Forgive one another, serve one another, greet one another, all the one another commands in Scripture. All the passages, 107, that there are 114 of those verses that specifically tell us to encourage one another. That's a very large percentage. It really is. More than 10%. God is serious. But take a look, if you will, what follows. But when you look at some of the other commands, the action commands, such as to love one another, to forgive one another, to build up one another, to edify, to admonish one another, to pray for each other, to teach, to serve, you soon realize that as we obey those commands, one another commandments, they also bring along with that or produce that in our lives encouragement. They often go hand in hand. To encourage, and this is from the book Encouragement, written by Larry Crabb and Allender. To encourage is also to bring courage. Encourage, to put courage in that heart. Encouragement is the kind of expression to help someone want to be a better Christian. Even when life gets hard or rough. Let's go on, if you will. We need to be encouragers. God commands us to encourage one another. And how can we, and we can be, encouragers by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Let me give you an illustration of someone and something that was done to encourage someone that no one really wanted to get near. Hubert Humphrey was a former vice president of the United States, and when he died, hundreds of people from across the world attended his funeral. All were welcome but one, former President Richard Nixon, who had a long previously ago, prior to that, had dragged himself and our nation into shame and disgrace through a Watergate incident. As eyes turned away from him, conversations all of a sudden died down and stopped when he came near. It seemed that very clear to President Nixon that he was being ostracized as they poured all of that hatred, anger upon him. Then Jimmy Carter, who was serving as our president at the time, walked into the room. Carter, a professing Christian, was from a different political party than Nixon and was well known for his honesty and his integrity. As he moved to his seat, President Carter, he noticed that Richard Nixon was standing all alone. Carter immediately changed the course of his action. He walked over to Richard Nixon, held out his hand, and smiling genuinely and broadly, embraced Nixon and said, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." Now that's an encourager. That's what encouragement does. The incident was reported in Newsweek magazine, which wrote, "If there was a turning point in Nixon's long ordeal in the wilderness, it was that moment and at that gesture of love and compassion and the encouragement he received from President Carter." We can all be encouragers. no matter how hard it may be. God gives us the grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, who is also our encourager. Sometimes we do just the opposite, as you see in your paper before you. Sometimes we discourage instead of encourage one another. You know, it's been realized from various tests, psychological tests and whatnot, it takes 11 positive statements to a person that will counteract or it will cancel one negative statement. Let me put it in something like this. If a parent says to their son or their daughter, "You are stupid," is that positive or negative?
Negative,
right, okay. Psychologists say it takes at least 11 positive encouraging statements to negate that one statement, "You're stupid." Or when we say something to one another that is negative. Sometimes we discourage more than we encourage. Sometimes we concentrate on a person's weakness or faults instead of their strengths. We do that with our spouses, with our children. Like that illustration, or say you're dumb, or worse. Is it interesting? Gossip mostly is negative statements about a person. Not meant to encourage. Not even intended to encourage those who are listening to it, much less those who are spreading it. We criticize others instead of recognizing their good qualities, what God is doing in them and through them. That's how we encourage. We tend to tear down instead of build up. That's part of our sin nature. I want Christ's nature to be more full in my life. Don't you want him to be more full in your life? Amen. We hold too on to an offense or a disappointment or a shortcoming instead of just letting it go. How many of us have done that? I've done that. And you know, if you're holding on to something, you can't encourage that person. There's nothing in all of this world, in all of your heart, that will give you that opportunity to encourage that person. If you're holding on to that, that resentment, that bitterness, that offense, that shortcoming, we all do it. You see, sometimes we do just the opposite. Instead of encouraging, we discourage. Is it any wonder, when we do hold on to offenses and disappointments and shortcomings, instead of letting them go, is it any wonder that we find ourselves being discouraged more frequently? We find ourselves being more critical of others and even ourselves. As an encourager, we can be used of the Lord to change someone's life. We have an illustration there, and you've read about Barnabas many times as you've gone through the book of Acts. Barnabas, his name was originally Joseph, but because he was such an encourager, think of that, they renamed him. They renamed him Barnabas, and in the original language meant son of encouragement, and he was an encourager. Take a look at the list. He supported Paul when everybody rejected him. Paul came to know Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. And when he came down into Jerusalem, he wanted to fellowship, of course. He wanted to worship. He wanted to celebrate with other Christians. Everybody was pulling away from Paul. We don't know him. We do know one thing, that he's a persecutor of the church. And he says he's a Christian now. I think that's just a ploy to get our name so he can report and then he can drag us into prison. And Barnabas said, no, he truly is saved. He knows the Lord. He loves Jesus. And we need to love him too. Barnabas was the one guy. He was like a Jimmy Carter, if you will. And took Paul to the others, commending him to them as a brother in Christ. Notice, he also invited Paul to join him in the ministry in Antioch. Things were happening. The church was growing. He needed help. So who's the Holy Spirit? The encourager. Guide Barnabas to Paul. And as an encourager, he says, Paul, I want you to join with me here in Antioch. He also invited, John Mark, a relation of his, a young man, a young believer. He invited John Mark to be part of the mission team, eagerly giving others a chance to serve and minister. That's part of encouraging. Not, oh, this is my area. I've got to protect this this kingdom that I have right here, whatever it may be, in whatever ministry we are. Sometimes we, well, that's my empire here. No, the encourager, like a Barnabas, if you will, a son of encouragement. Come on, we need help. Let me encourage you to serve. And that's what Barnabas did with John Mark. And then when John Mark failed, he didn't discard him or throw him away. Barnabas said, John, I want you to go with me on another mission journey. He gave him another chance. You see, that's what encouragers do. Because you and I have been encouraged by the Lord. How many chances did he give you? How many chances has he given me? More than one, I'll tell you that. Okay? And that's what those who have been encouraged in Jesus Christ, they do with one another. And we need to be encouragers. We need to be like a Barnabas in giving one another another chance. And another chance. And another chance. Amen? Each time we encourage someone, it may change the course of his or her life. Think of that. It changed the course of John Mark's life. He failed. He deserted. But Barnabas, the encourager, said, no, John, I want you to come with me this time again. To a different place. Same gospel, same message. Come. Changed his life. Later on, Paul could say, he's a faithful minister. He's speaking of John. He's a faithful minister, and I want him to be with me. Each time we encourage someone, it may change the course of his or her life. Evangelist Bill Glass asked a group of 1,000-plus prison inmates, how many of you had parents who told you that you would end up in prison one day? Almost every one of the inmates raised their hand. We need to remember that the primary means of encouragement is from God's word. That's the next point in your outline before you. As we read and we study passages that are designed to encourage us, they equip us also to encourage one another. Isn't that neat? God wants to replicate, if you will, that grace that he's working in your life, in my life, into the life of someone else. Who are you encouraging today? Who'd you encourage this past week? Who will you encourage throughout this coming week? A passage designed, one of many passages designed to encourage us in Christ is Hebrews chapter 10. You have that passage there, verses 19 through 25. Take a look at very quickly as we look through this passage. Look at what we have in Jesus. That should encourage our hearts. That should deepen our souls so much in the grace of God, so much in the reality that every day we receive the mercies of God, that I'm far better than I ought to be. And you are too. But that should encourage us. You see, we are encouragers because we have been encouraged ourselves. Take a look at what encouragers have, if you will, what you and I have. Verse 19 and 20 through 21. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he has opened up for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. And then he goes on to say the application. But notice what you and I have. Oh, this is just a short list of all that we have in Jesus. Aren't you glad it's just a short list? But I'm glad also that this is my list. It's your list also. Look at what we have. We have confidence to come before God because he's our Father. And the Holy Spirit, the encourager within your heart, within my heart, within the body of Christ, the church, enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. You see, only a son and daughter can say that to God. And the only way you can say that to God, the creator of the world and of you, is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, being born again and being born into the family of God. But in the family of God, we know that we're a family of encouragers. Because God is a God of all encouragement. But notice, if you will, we have confidence to come to God our Father, whatever the need. We have access. The Jews in the Old Testament, the only one that had access into the holy place were the priests. The only one who had access into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, only once a year. And you and I, wonderful, what an encouragement. You and I have access, not just into the holy place, but to the Holy of Holies. through the very person of Jesus Christ, our Son. And not the Holy of Holies here, because it's not here yet. It will be in Jerusalem sometime in the future. But right now, for you and I, we can enter into the Holy of Holies there in God's throne room through a new and living way. We have access. That's an encouragement. Take a look. We also have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Advocate. That's what he's called in 1 John chapter 2. And again, that word advocate is from the same word parakaleo. We have not just an advocate who will defend us, we have an encourager there in the throne room of God. For you and for me, we also are part of God's household. Notice it says, and since we have a great high priest over the household of God. Are you in that household? Are you? Are you? It's not just a house. It's not a building. It's a family. You're in the family of God because you know Jesus, because you know the God of encouragement. You're also an encourager. You see, this is just a few of the things, of the many things that we have in Christ Jesus as an encourager. But see what encouragers do. Take a look very quickly. Let's take a look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. That's what encouragers do. They draw near to God. They draw near to God on a daily basis. Why? Because we know that in Christ Jesus, our encourager, our Savior, we have everything for life and godliness. And part of the working out of that life and godliness is to be an encourager, that we encourage one another. And so we draw near to God. Notice it's in the plural. It's every one of us. It's to draw near to God with full assurance of faith. You see, God has given you that faith that you can, with great encouragement, with great confidence, draw near to God and be encouraged yourself so that you can encourage someone else. We also see cleansing and forgiveness. Take a look. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If I find it hard to encourage another brother or sister in Christ, no matter where they are in their journey, if I find it hard, then I've got a heart problem. And it may be a heart problem with that very person God wants me to encourage. You see, we as Christians, we don't operate on fate, on chance. Do you? I pray you don't. We don't operate on what is called karma. You know, what goes around comes around. Hey, get off the wheel if you're on that wheel. Be an encourager. We see cleansing and forgiveness. Number 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Aren't you glad? Doesn't that encourage you? Does that charge your encouragement battery that you walk around with every day, or are you running low? And one of the things that we should do, we should have, is that encouragement through worship too in our celebration, like here at the table of the Lord. And so we are encouraged and energized to encourage others. We have hope. You know what hope is? Write this down. It's a confident expectation in the person and the promises of God. A confident expectation in the person and the promises of God. That's what God's Word tells us and teaches us. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, the same passage we're looking at prior to that in chapter 6, he talks about that we now have hope. Why? Based upon the person of God, God will never lie. God will never deceive us. God is always faithful. We have a living hope that is an anchor for our souls where Jesus Christ has gone into the very Holy of Holies. That hope gives us that security, that stability in Christ Jesus. It's a confident expectation in the person and the promises of God. Because he goes on to say in that passage that we have hope as an anchor. Two things that assure us of that hope. God's person, his character, and God's promises. Aren't you glad? I sure am. God never changes. And his promises never fail. Let's go on. Let us consider how to stir up, how to stimulate, how to urge, if you will, how to encourage, can also be translated here, how to encourage one another to love and to good works. That's what encouragers do. That's what encouragers do. I've been encouraged to do that. Haven't you? Have you encouraged us to do that? Others. The word consider, I think some of us just stop right there. Well, I'll consider it. I'll consider it. That's not what it means. That means is to think about it, contemplate it with a plan of action. That's what it means. To think about it, contemplate it with a plan of action. Not neglecting, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. I love that, don't you? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. One of the questions he can ask us now and then, are you an encourager or a discourager? Have I not encouraged you, he will say? Then why haven't you encouraged others? Someone has said it this way, encouragement is like peanut butter, like a peanut butter sandwich. The more you spread it around, the better things stick together. And that's so true. That's so true, yeah. As you and I are encouraging one another because we have been so wonderfully and amazingly encouraged by God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and all these things that we have in Jesus and so much more. Why shouldn't we encourage one another? Huh? And encourage others in our home, our spouses, our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, our neighbor next door, the one that we have a problem with. You know who they are. Will you encourage that one? We need to look for the best in other believers, not the worst. Speaking to a person about forgiveness, and they said, well, you know, I've done that. I've done that many times, but I know they're going to do it again. I offend them. Well, beloved, I think about Bill Gray. Maybe you think about your heart, too. How many times have I sinned against the Lord? I can't even count them. There's so many. And yet he still forgives me. That encourages me. That encourages me that with a brother or sister in Christ, no matter how many times they've offended me or they've done something against me, I need to forgive them as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven me. I'm encouraged to do that. And Jesus is glorified. We need to look for the best in other believers, not the worst. We're all in the process of growing more like Jesus. I haven't arrived there yet. Have you? If you have, help me, please. Have you arrived there? No, we're all in the process. We need each other in this process for growing. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. We need each other in the process of growing. And God even uses our offense. Look at Joseph. Oh, my word. I mean, would you like to be in Joseph's shoes when he's thrown in the pit by his own brothers, when they were contemplating to murder him, and then they sold him into slavery, and then he went into prison? Oh, my word. When will it stop? He never said that. He never said that. He was encouraged because God was with him. God is with you. And with me. So Joseph could encourage his brothers in his forgiveness and reconciliation with them. You meant it for evil, no doubt about it. That's between you and God. Not between you and me. I've forgiven you. God meant it for good. We bring glory to the Lord when we recognize his redemptive work. We need to look for opportunities to encourage others. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Remember how you've been encouraged. Let me just give you 10 ideas of how to encourage others. Pray that God will make you an encourager. It begins there. Pray that God will make you an encourager. I should have written these down and put them on the sheet. Forgive me. I'll try to do that as an extra handout, but I want you to think and write these things down, if you will. Pray that God will make you an encourager. Study the life of Barnabas and ask God to make you just like him. Number 3, make encouragement a daily discipline. Make it a daily discipline. I need to encourage other people every day. I'm encouraged by the Lord every day. Make it a daily discipline. Ask God to show you who to encourage. Ask him right now today. That's one of the things I'm going to ask you right now to do is ask the Lord to show you who he wants you to encourage today. Use scripture if you're able to. Scripture encourages. Be specific in what you say. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm not talking about empty compliments. But speak to the evidence of God's grace in that person's life, of how God is working in them and through them. Regularly encourage your loved ones and those who serve you. Even the unsaved that serve you, you can encourage them. They're in the restaurant, they're at work, they're at school. Pray that God would create a culture of encouragement in our church. Be wise and use discernment. And this is what I mean. When trying to encourage someone of the opposite sex, be wise and discerning. If you're a man and you're encouraging a woman, a married woman or single woman, do it with your wife. You have a wife. Do it with that couple together. All I'm saying is just be wise and discerning. And then get started. Get started. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Father, that you are the God of encouragement, the God of comfort, the God of grace. Lord, as we have been encouraged every day and throughout every day in your Son, Jesus Christ, and your bountiful blessings upon us, Lord, move our hearts to be encouragers, even of those that we have a problem to encourage. Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us grace to do that. And Lord, if there is something in our own hearts that stops us from that, Lord, we ask that you'd help us, you'd enable us, you'd convict us to get whatever it is out of our hearts, that we would have a cleansed and free heart to forgive and to encourage others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.